Gang symbols and taggings are a major part of the visual landscape of many Chicago neighborhoods. For some, graffiti and taggings are a form of public art, embedded with messages and mystery. But street art is hardly limited to gang graffiti. Take the Toynbee plaques, for instance. These are small white squares embedded into the pavement with a message that usually reads, "Toynbee ideas in Kubrick's 2001 Resurrect Dead on Planet Jupiter." Perhaps you've seen one. They've been popping up on Chicago street corners and in cities around the nation, and their origin and their meaning is mysterious. Mark Fisher is an artist with a group known as Temp Services, and he's fascinated by the ways in which street art can be used to insert ideas into the public sphere, and he's with us now in studio. Mark, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I'm curious to know from your perspective, where do these Toynbee plaques fit into your notion of art intersecting with the public sphere and places where people are coming into contact with everyday life?
Well, I don't even know that they are art, right? I mean, it's not really clear whether this person is an artist, and whoever has made these plaques has never put themselves out there the way that most artists do. A lot of artists who do graffiti eventually kind of cross over and they show in galleries and they then take their work back out onto the street.
So this could be just messaging or propaganda or anything else that may not be art per
se. They seem to be this kind of announcement. It's also most graffiti sort of tends to you tend to see it all over the place. I mean the kind of objective is often to get your work out, you know, put your work up everywhere, right, and get known that way. And the Toynbee plaques are very few and far between. I mean, there really were only about 8 that I think were spotted in Chicago, and similar for other cities, you know, 3 here, 5 there. They're made in this way that makes them incredibly durable. I mean, they get driven over by cars thousands of times a day and still sometimes stick around for maybe a decade. And tend not to be, you know, and most graffiti isn't, I mean, there are people who do spray-painted stencils on the street, but most of these things are, you know, much more kind of aggressive, you know, covering the side of someone's garage door or building, and as a result, they get taken down real quickly. These are really subtle, which is also unusual.
We're also seeing, though, other examples of this kind of messaging or art. In fact, in some Chicago neighborhoods, we've seen, you know, people writing "I love you" or something about, you know, hope or peace. These kinds of messages seem to be popping up spontaneously. What's driving that per se? Is that an organized artistic or public messaging, or is that just merely one person saying, "Oh, I think this is something that I would like to write"?
It seems like it's a strategy. You know, taking, I think that, you know, there was for a long time the kind of the Andre the Giant has a posse stickers, and it sort of proved this kind of thing, which is not terribly surprising, that if you spread the same thing all over the place over and over again, it eventually has this kind of presence and becomes a phenomena. But most of those messages, I mean, they're really innocuous. You know, and I think the narrative in the Toynbee plaques is kind of, it's quite limited also, right? I mean, it's sort of the same message over and over again. And, you know, the person's working with what seemed to be like cut bits of linoleum. It's not probably the easiest medium in the world to construct a very lengthy, complicated narrative. And sometimes where they have a smaller, longer text at the bottom, that's going to be the thing that's most immediately destroyed by cars driving over it over and over again.
We've also seen more elaborate efforts in this. I think about the campaign that was mocking the Chicago Housing Authority campaign, where the slogan was "This is change," and that was changed to "This is chaos." Those sorts of campaigns as well.
Yeah, I think that's a much more complicated narrative. It was also a lot more, certainly a lot more critical than some of these kind of, you know, "you just have to try" slogans. Or, you know, there's a very pointed kind of political intent with that. And I think it's not surprising that they got removed very, very quickly. I mean, especially putting something like that in the bus stop windows downtown. You know, I think it shows the kind of vulnerability of the city in light of the enormous amount of security that the city has now, especially after September 11th.
Yeah, how difficult is it for someone like yourself to and others that you work with to be able to create art in this way, in this manner, and have it actually be seen and exist in some sort of degree that's more than just fleeting?
Yeah, well, I mean, what's interesting with things like the Toynbee plaques is the way that they kind of slip around what is obviously, you know, illegal. And of course, you can't bake things into the street, but nonetheless, you know, in sort of small incidences, sporadic, scattered throughout the city, these things seem to be fairly well tolerated. Other examples, things that are tolerated would be when someone gets hit by a car and people put out stuffed animals or candles, even lit candles on the street, or flowers, or attached signs to poles. Those things tend to be tolerated often for a very, very long time. Of course, you know, you can't attach things to girders underneath Lake Street when someone gets hit by a car.
Right.
But nonetheless, this is done and it's accepted. Or like there was the image of the Virgin Mary that was found from like a water stain, the overpass. That has lit candles and flowers out all the time and for many months now. And that kind of expression is tolerated. So it's interesting to see what kinds of things are sort of tacitly accepted, whether they're legal or not. And for our group, Temporary Services, and a lot of others, sort of seeing how people are kind of – how these things test the legalities of publicly trafficked space, which is so intensely regulated. I mean, there are really very, very few opportunities for people to put their ideas out into the world without having the budget of doing an enormously expensive advertising campaign, or without having their work taken down almost immediately, you know, by the city.
Mark Fisher is an artist with Temporary Services. Mark, I want to thank you very much for coming in. It's a fascinating conversation, one I hope we can continue soon.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Just ahead on 848, we'll bring you the story of the creation of Millennium Park. Gretchen Helfrich sits down to talk with author Timothy Guilfoyle about the story behind the landmark scene. I'm Steve Edwards. Stick around for that and more as 848 continues after this on Chicago Public Radio.